is just a little bit after 1:30, so we're going to go ahead and initiate the hearing. Welcome and good afternoon to the Fresno County LAFCO. We want to note that there should be agendas towards the rear if you're interested in getting an agenda. So what we'll do is we'll start off with the flag salute, and since I see Sal here, I'm going to invite him to lead us in the flag salute.
Thank you. Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, so I will ask for the roll call.
Commissioner Brandao.
Here.
Commissioner Parra. Commissioner Quintero.
Here.
Commissioner Yep.
Here.
Chair Santoyo.
Yes. Okay. Here's where we want to talk about the potential conflicts.
Item number 3 is comments from the public.
Oh, yeah.
Any person wishing to address the commission on a subject not listed on the agenda may do so at this time. State your name, address, and please keep your comments to 3 minutes.
Does not appear like there's any, so let's keep moving forward.
Item number 4 is potential conflicts of interest. Any commission member who has a potential conflict of interest shall now identify the item and recuse themselves from discussing and voting on the matter pursuant to Government Code Section 84308.
Is there any commissioners that would like to note any potential conflicts? Then I will note in regard to what will be the consent agenda, and I believe it's item 5C that deals with the city of Reedley. I'm going to have to recuse myself from that. So maybe we take that off the agenda. We'll take action on the balance of it, and then when it comes up for the city of Reedley, I will step out.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think that you need to disclose the reason why.
Okay.
That's correct, yes.
So the reason why is that I get the property that's being proposed for annexation is my residence is probably less than 500 feet away from that. And so that's the rationale for that. Okay. So with that, so I guess I'll take a motion to pull it off.
Pull it off, yes.
And or can I just take it
you
off?
You can just take,
I can
it,
just
off.
Take it off.
Okay, well, then I'll take it off, and so we'll keep moving forward with the balance of the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion. Rest of the items.
Okay.
Consent.
All right, and do we have a...
I'll second that.
Okay, with that, but maybe before we go there, let me stop and ask if there's anybody in the public that would like to pull any item from the consent agenda. Doesn't look that way, so we'll go ahead and move forward with the motion in the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so I will step out for the City of Reedley item. And
okay.
And I'll be back.
On the remaining item of the consent calendar, item 5C, is there any... opposition or anybody from the public wishing to say anything on this item? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
It's been moved and properly seconded. Roll call, please.
I'm sorry. Well, there's a motion by Commissioner Brandao.
Yes.
And second by Commissioner Quintero.
Yes.
Commissioner Brandao.
Yes.
Commissioner Parra is absent. Commissioner Quintero.
Yes.
Commissioner Yep.
Yes.
And Chair Santoyo has stepped out.
Okay. So we can ask him to come back, or I can do the meeting without him. Leave him in the holding cell.
So we got item six. And let's see, who is providing that? Amanda?
That would be me, yes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Staff is reviewing options for dissolution of the Zalda Reclamation District, number 108. Previous staff had began discussions to dissolve the district with Kings River Conservation District, as they would be the responsible district post-dissolution. There are several ways that we have, or several options that we have to dissolve the district, one of which includes the SB 938 action, which would allow us to have the commission approve a resolution to dissolve, give the district 1 year to come back and to petition, essentially petition the dissolution. If no action is taken by Zalda, they would be dissolved, and KRCD would be the assuming district of those services. This concludes staff presentation, and I'm available for any questions you may have.
Is there any questions by the commissioners, staff?
So we don't take any action today. This is just an update and...
Correct. Yeah. And we do have representatives from KRCD here today if you would like to ask any questions of them.
Any other questions staff may have? Okay. I do have a couple of questions.
Of course.
And I probably maybe should direct them to the representative. So if you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium, please state your name and your position in the organization.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is David Merritt, and I am the general manager for Kings River Conservation.
Okay. So the question I have for you is this. Because it sounds like you will absorb basically the district that we're looking at the solution. My question is that your preference to do that is exactly what? Because it seems to me that you could be doing whatever you want to do without doing that. You know, you could always pick up any services that they're doing on your own as an independent district. So why are you specifically looking at absorbing the other district?
So good question. KRCD has had a long-term relationship working with or working for on a contract basis with Zalda Reclamation District. I mean, it really stemmed post the 1995 flood event. There was a North Fork interceptor project that was put in on the Kings River. KRCD contractually obligated ourselves to take care of that system for them, and that has continued to this day. They have not been active within their role as a district, so it just makes sense based on what KRCD does and continues to do that we just move that requirement for that district right into KRCD. This has been brought up with the KRCD board. We are, our board is in a support of doing this. There's also been conversation with the landowners along the North Fork who have been involved in Reclamation District 781. 801, I'm sorry. I have another one that's on my mind. And it was also brought to me by Supervisor Buddy Mendez as a means to dissolve that district.
Okay, so it sounds like it's just a whole lot smoother transition to do it that way than and other options.
Absolutely. Okay. Originally, the thought was this KRCD kind of helped move this forward, working with, Brian and Amanda, through LAPCO, which has been great. They brought to the table this option through the Senate bill. We feel that's just probably the smoothest, less risk for KRCD. Just let the LAPCO process play out. And we're here to help and support them through the next year on that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Is there any comments from the public? It doesn't appear so. Okay. So any last questions by the commission? Otherwise, I guess we're just going to give staff direction.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Let's just receive and file it then. Okay. All right. So we'll move into item seven. Do we want to, Amanda, you want to go ahead and read what the item is?
Sure. Item number seven is authorize the LAFCO chair to sign waiver of conflict of interest.
Brian, do you want to kind of give us a briefing?
Yeah, I'll probably start this off and maybe Jesse can help correct all the errors I make. So essentially, our same legal counsel, Baker, Manick, and Jensen, they have signed with a couple districts that fall within Fresno LAFCO. Mm-hmm. They will be represented by a separate counsel, but because it's under the same umbrella, they recommend we bring this conflict of interest waiver. Jesse provided several different points in a thorough email explaining, you know, why we're in the clear. And essentially, as long as our counsel is happy about it moving forward, I don't see any reason to cause for concern.
Okay. Any questions by the commissioners on this?
Chair, if you don't mind, I just want to make clear that our firm representing these three other districts who may have applications coming before the board, so far, these are just potential conflicts. They're not directly adverse to each other. If such becomes the case, like litigation occurs, and LAFCO would be directly adverse in litigation with one of the districts, then we would have to recuse ourselves, and LAFCO would have to find separate counsel for that.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
So if just wanted to make that clarification there.
Right. Thank you.
So if somebody that you represent comes before the board here,
mm-hmm.
who determines whether or not that there's a conflict? You representing us, or you representing them, or you just recuse yourself altogether?
Well, we're getting this waiver so we don't recuse ourselves, so there's full and clear consent on both sides.
Okay.
So attorneys have ethics rules to sort of identify these conflicts, and that's why we're coming to you in advance before anything comes in that direction. Mm-hmm. Our firm would be representing them, but it would be, like Brian said, a different attorney than me. So at this point, we would not recuse ourselves if the board of commissioners just decides to go ahead with this conflict waiver. Otherwise, there is the option to find separate counsel if that would make you all more comfortable.
So then Baker Manick would represent another city, and you would represent us. So we have the option of saying we would like to get other counsel, and they have the option to determine whether or not they want other counsel if there's going to be adversarial proceedings?
Correct, yeah. LAFCO would, if there were adversarial proceedings, then LAFCO would have to find other counsel, and we would have to recuse ourselves at that point. If that's a direct conflict, litigation, adverse parties, we couldn't do that. Because the parties aren't adverse here, we can represent both.
Right.
Right.
Like a dual agency kind of thing in real estate.
Correct. Okay. And we'd be representing special districts.
So if we felt that it was adversarial and we asked you to recuse yourself, could we also ask the other counsel to recuse himself from the other city? We have that option.
That would be a separate consideration from those folks.
Let's say the other city was represented by Ken Price.
Right.
And I don't really want to go against Ken Price because he knows so much about what we do here.
Yeah.
So can I say, hey, I don't feel comfortable with Ken Price because he knows too much about LAFCO and how the sausage is made here on this side?
Yeah, Ken would not be able to under
right. Okay.
the ethics rules. He would not be able to represent any other party against LAFCO okay. in an adversarial setting.
Yeah.
Or me, or, you know, okay.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Well, that's good. No, good question. Any other questions for legal counsel? Okay, if not, then I will see if the public has many questions. Apparently not. All right. With that, I'm going to entertain a motion in a second.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We got a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Sal, did you? Okay.
You okay. And aye.
Excellent. All right. So
as long as you're not a no, then.
All right, so let's keep moving forward.
Item number 8 is Municipal Service Review and Sphere of Influence Update for Kalinga Huron Recreation and Park District.
All right, Jessica, I think
yes.
you tripped about.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. I'll briefly summarize Kalinga Huron Recreation and Park District's MSR and SOI update. The district provides parks and recreation programs and additionally manages a landscape and lighting maintenance district, which consists of two landscaped medians in the city of Kalinga. It also owns and maintains Camp Yeager, which is a tax-exempt property in the village of Cambria in San Luis Obispo County. Camp Yeager is not in the district service area nor in the sphere of influence. The district service area and sphere of influence are coterminous and encompass about 550,006 acres. It is an independent special district governed by an elected five-member board of directors. The finances are managed by the general manager, Tyler Hensley. The district's primary source of income is an annual special tax assessment levied on each parcel within the district boundaries. The budget for this year is $1,952,000. The district is staffed by 13 full-time employees and 22 part-time employees and two contracted employees. Facilities include Keck Park and Community Center, Kalinga Fitness Center, Wellborn Recreation and Senior Center, Kalinga Swim Complex, Olson Park, Kalinga Sports Complex, Keenan Park and Community Center, Chestnut Park and Recreation Center, Camp Yeager, and also seven Ford vehicles owned and utilized by the district. The MSR highlights the need for the district to take preparatory action to supplement their budget. The district's total net position is positive, with total assets exceeding total liabilities. However, the audit indicates a fiscal deficit for 5 years running now. The general manager is looking to implement fee increases, conduct a work program assessment, or a program assessment, and possibly a tax increase if needed. If minimum wage exceeds $17 an hour, the general manager will look to hire more full-time as opposed to part-time employees. So staff first recommends to transfer the jurisdiction of the Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District from the district to the City of Kalinga by joint resolution with mutually agreed upon terms and conditions. In the short term, petition bids for local landscaping companies to maintain the LLMD for a reasonable fare. At this point, they're contracting with a Fresno-based company. Second recommendation is to retain rental fees for Camp Yeager in a separate fund account from district tax-generated revenue to avoid commingling of funds. Camp Yeager is a tax-exempt property outside the district service area, whereas the remainder of the district's tax revenue is generated from within the district service area. The MSR recommends the commission to affirm the district's current boundary by entertaining two separate actions. First action being the CEQA component. The second action adopts the written determinations and recommendations of the MSR prepared for Kalinga Huron Recreation and Park District. Before I conclude, I would be remiss if I did not mention General Manager Tyler Hensley. He is unable to be here due to a family emergency, and also the supporting staff for providing the information that went into this MSR update. They were gracious and generous with their time, and I am most appreciative. This concludes our presentation.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Is there any questions, comments by commissioners with regard to the subject? Okay, I will ask the public, and there doesn't appear to be any comments from the public, so I'm going to bring it back and entertain a motion and a second on action one.
He just closed, he showed back up, so he's going to vote.
Yeah.
That is correct. Good afternoon, Mr. Parra. So I guess, so officially we've recorded that Mr. Parra is back and up to.
You already did that.
Oh,
just got to brush my.
Wow. I officially recognize you.
In that case, I'll make a motion to accept.
Okay, there you go. All right, we got a motion, a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so now I will entertain a motion and a second on the second action. Why don't you refresh our memory what the second action is?
The first one was CEQA. The second was to adopt the MSR recommendations and determinations.
Right. So, again, entertaining a motion and a second for the second action. Okay, we got a motion and we got a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, good. All right, so let's keep rolling. Item number nine.
Item number nine is authorize the executive officer to sign new lease agreement and utilize contingency funds.
Okay, and I guess, Brian, you're going to give us a report on that?
That's me. Thank you very much. So in review of our upcoming lease renewal for our current office space, I thought it'd be interesting just to put a couple of feelers out there and see what were some competing prices. The actual first place I looked at was the Grand Tower, and the offer they provided us, factoring in cost of parking, cost of moving, the very bottom line, comes out to a savings of about $1,000 per month compared to renewing our current space. Most of that savings comes from the space we'll be looking at being a little bit smaller in size. Talking with our wonderful staff, they're quite open to that. The way the floor plan is laid out would actually be a little more beneficial to how we operate. You can see up on the screen there, that would be a general layout once furniture and everything is moved around. They are offering to provide all the furniture in gray there. The conference table, the chairs will be provided at the new site by them. Everything in color on the screen will be, stuff will be moving. And can you go back to the numbers? There you go. So taking a look at our remaining fiscal year budget, we have about $23,000 approved. The cost to renew our current lease would bring us in at about $23,400. The cost for the new lease plus moving expenses would bring us in at $21,443. So in reality, the savings to move versus what we're budgeted brings us in about $2,000. That's to close this year's budget. Go to the next slide. It would be for a five-year lease. Current annual cost is just over $47,000. The proposed annual cost is $35,684, annual savings of $11,500, just under $1,000 a month. And at the end of the 5 years, we would say $57,500. One way to look at it is comparing the cost to our current lease, you pay for the 4 years, you get the fifth year free. So that's how much savings are built into this proposal. I am also asking to utilize contingency funds. Even though the savings are built into this proposal, I would like to utilize contingency funds to separate moving expenses from the lease expenses just for better auditing practices and to keep the budget more transparent. But at the end of the day, any of that money used won't affect the bottom line of this current budget. Happy to answer any questions commission may have.
Steve, you'd like to ask some questions?
Yeah, I would. So, Brian, I'm looking at, and I just want to make sure I'm reading this right. So are we dropping about a third of our square footage? We're currently at 1812, and we'd be dropping to 1205?
Just over, yep.
Okay. And so do you feel, I mean, you feel like we can squeeze our staff in there?
Yeah, I'm going to bring out the layout again. There's adequate space for all of our current staff. Should LAFCO have the need to either grow or shrink in the future, the office building itself offers the ability to basically roll over your current lease into either a bigger or a smaller space if needed. They charge the same dollar amount per square foot. It just depends how much you want.
Okay. And then, so in do you feel that there's even room to grow within this office space, or would that immediately trigger trying to enter into a different?
That would, yeah, if we were to take on more staff, that would mean looking at a bigger space within the same building. Currently, we're operating pretty smoothly.
Okay.
We're pretty happy where we're at, but we can always discuss that, you know, when you cross that bridge.
Well, I like the savings, but, you know, that's a third less square footage. So if you're telling me you guys can pull it off and everybody feels like they would be happy, I guess I would support it. But
you know. Okay. Good questions. Any additional questions for Brian?
The main thing that I look at is what's going to make your staff happy. Is the new place going to be better or worse than what you currently have? Negotiations go to the last minute. So if you go to the current landlord and say, hey, we're ready to move. We got the approval to move. Right. And, you know, we can save almost, you know, $1,000 a month. Make me a deal I can't refuse, because the nuisance, you know, value of having to move across will cost you, you know, what's that worth, $2,000? Or I don't see everybody picking up their own furniture and moving it to the other. You're going to have a furniture company come over and move everything over. So the nuisance value of that. So is that something that is going to make people more happy or sad? Or is it sometimes moving is a good thing? Sometimes moving is a bad thing. It just really depends on what you guys want to do and you know, but either way, I'd support whatever decision you guys want as a staff.
So Brian, I don't know if you were part of the conversation or not, but I specifically remember David talking about some safety concerns at where you're at right now. Mm-hmm. And so I guess maybe perhaps to fuller answer the question is, what's the benefits of moving to the new place from the existing place?
Yeah, so currently where we're at, we do have a couple of different issues that seem to be reoccurring. Everything from like the janitorial service, you know, toilet paper not being in the restrooms, you know, paper towels not being available, soap dispensers being empty. Now that it's colder and wet, we have more homeless people hanging out, you know, in the alcoves there. During the summertime, it's either open the windows and try to let some air in, but also with all the street noise adjacent coming in, or close the window and just kind of bake in the sun type of deal. So it's like a lot of little items. And looking at the proposed location, we're on the 9th floor. Staff was really excited about a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. I basically made sure the numbers worked and had sat down with staff and said, okay, the numbers work, but how do you feel about moving? You know, what do you like? What don't you like? At the new location, there might be, you know, we brought up some issues regarding, you know, parking. Parking is not included, whereas it is at our current site, but the savings are enough to cover the price of parking and mm-hmm. still save that amount. You know, coming in early, leaving late, we're going to have to just recommend we implement the buddy system. If we need to adjust hours during certain seasons just to get people out during the daylight, you know, we'll make those adjustments. But, I mean, those same issues are kind of regardless of where you're located in downtown. Mm-hmm. You're going to have, you know, leaving too late, coming in too early type of deal.
So you're on the 9th floor. How many elevators do they have, and are they in good working condition?
It's two or is it three? The three elevators. Every time we've gone in there, they've all been functioning great.
So. Not like here.
Yeah, I'll say today was.
Well, I think they were great.
They got one. The other one broken right now. I don't know if you saw the sign, don't use. But I was going to say, going back to Mario, that was an issue because you'd been broken in before, and we'd already gone down this road, and you were already looking. Actually, you were looking at a place, and it didn't work out. So This has been coming for a while. The other question I had was, how much per square foot do they charge you?
$182
is about
$2, yeah.
So under $200. So in other words, you're saving $1,000 a month. So even if you put it back, you could grow by almost half if you had to, and you'd still be in the same budget, correct?
Yeah.
So
they might get the move-in special too.
Huh?
You can get the move-in special, 3 free months.
I don't know about that one, but I mean, I'm good with it.
So Ryan, going back to the question Steve raised. Do you foresee any changes in increasing staff in any near future or not? Because what I think I heard was that if we increase staff, it triggers going to a bigger place. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, do you foresee us needing to increase staff in the near future, or is that currently not in play?
Not in the immediate future. I think we have adequate staff to handle our current needs. The one item that we're not sure how much of an avalanche it may cause is the lack of the MOU being in place. There are currently projects kind of stacking up in the queue. We're trying to coordinate with the major cities and applicants to say, hey, when that occurs, let's work together and submit applications on a timely basis. That way our wonderful staff here don't have, you know, 5 to 10 projects to juggle at one time. Other than that, you know, if that does go wrong, you know, the it's double-edged sword, right? We get all those applications, fees also come with that. Mm-hmm. So worst case scenario, it'll likely be temporary. We can look into getting a consultant to help us out on a temporary basis. There are ways to address that. But overall, our current flow of projects, I think we're doing just fine with what we have.
And so the last question I have for you, and I'm just asking the questions to have a clearer understanding, is generally speaking, downtown area, it's a more challenging place in general to be at. As compared to being more in the, let's say, the near the airport where there's, you know, what is the key advantage of being remaining in downtown? There's got to be some advantage of being here, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to be closer to where we meet, so that's definitely nice. They just relocated the recorder's office, and this building is only a couple blocks away from that, mm-hmm. So it gets us closer to that asset as well. With our current staff, downtown is actually kind of like the middle ground compared to where everybody's located. And overall, it's just, I think it's important for these types of government agencies to operate and, you know, maintain a presence in the downtown area.
Okay.
More restaurants.
Yeah, that's important. So how's staff feel?
We're ready.
You guys ready?
Okay. I honestly can't take them car shopping. I took them to look at the space, and they were like, when do we sign? I'm like, I'm trying to work a deal here, and they're saying, let's take it home today.
Okay.
We had the Christmas party over there then.
Yeah, actually, we do have some pictures of those some pictures of the interior of the office space, and then I think that'd be the conference area. One more, I believe. So they do have some space available if we were to have larger meetings or host an event. Mm-hmm. This is on the very top floor, and this is on the bottom floor. So say we had some like CalAFCO events that we had to assist in hosting are available, and as tenants of the building, we get a discount with that as well.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to just officially, is there any comments from the public? Seeing none. I'll bring it back to the commissioners to entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve.
Okay, and we need
second.
Okay. All right, we.
Supervisor Quintero made that motion.
Supervisor Quintero will honor him by, you're going to be the second. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, good. Item 10.
Item number 10 is executive officer comments.
That's you, Brian.
Still me. All right. Very sad to say, with the lack of incoming applications, December is looking pretty clear for us. So with the holidays, we'll probably take that off and reconvene in January. So Merry Christmas to all of you for that wonderful gift. For the January meeting, we're looking at our typical consent calendar with minutes. We will be bringing our mid-year finances and work program report. We will likely have another MSR for Consolidated Mosquito Abatement District. I'll speak on more of this in a little bit, but I would like to bring a salary resolution update. And we'll also need a closed session because it's already 6 months I've been here, so we'll need to do an evaluation for me. You also have your June through September financials. The latest is what we provided. If you need any of the older numbers, they're in here as well. But if you want those broken out separately, we can get you copies of that. Mm-hmm. Last meeting, MagSig brought up a question of outstanding checks and where we stood on that. We've been chipping away at getting those older ones taken care of. We're getting a little bit closer. In that process, it's kind of become clear that it'll make it a lot easier if we either switch everybody to direct deposits or keep going as we operate. Obviously, if we continue operations as is, there's not as many opportunities for efficiencies. But that would be something we'd basically all have to agree on to move on by like the next fiscal year. Everybody switch to direct deposit for their time here. So we can go into greater detail on that in a future agenda item if interested, but just want to put that out there to start getting on your radars and see how you feel about that. And next hearing in January, we'll have a final update on the Amador Smoot reorganization that's kind of been in limbo. They've been waiting to hear about some land acquisition that's been held up with the state. Odds are the item may just have to be dropped. There's no availability for additional extensions for them. And if they can't get that land sorted out by December 16th, they're kind of just out of luck. So I'll get you a final update on that as well in January. Shifting back to the salary resolution update, we are internally putting together some findings and some studies that we're doing. And basically, commission has the option to appoint a committee, if you guys are interested in working with us between now and January to figure out what we should do with that.
Okay. Well, I think we have traditionally have put subcommittees together on things along those lines. And so we probably want to volunteer from the small cities and...
I volunteer Para?
No, I'll do it. I did it last time. It was Brian and I did it.
Yeah.
We did it with David. Okay. And that's when we took them and compared them to the county at that time.
Yeah.
So I don't mind doing it again.
Okay. So for the cities, it'll be Mr. Para. And then for the county, it's either you, Steve, or Mesnick. My guess would be is that Nathan would be the guy who likes to get into the numbers.
I would like to volunteer Mr. Mesnick.
He's not here.
Sounds like,
yeah.
I'll second that nomination.
Excellent idea.
I'll second that emotion.
It'll teach him from not being here. So, let's set up the subcommittee consisting of Mr. Para and Nathan.
Okay.
Then you can communicate with them as needed.
Awesome. Okay. Appreciate that.
All right. Any questions for Brian? Mm-mm. Okay. All right, so then I'll go to basically comments by commissioners, reports. Yep.
Okay, so I want to say thank you to Brian. We both went to the conference a couple of weeks back and had some very good breakout sessions and meetings. Also, just want to let you know that they nominated me and I accepted secretary. So in 3 years, I become president of LAFCO for the state. So just want to give you an update on that. So we probably will be hosting something down the road here in Fresno. So,
okay.
And again, thank you for allowing me to go.
Sounds good. Congratulations,
thank you.
Dan.
Yeah.
Or any other reports, comments by the commissioners?
6 months goes by quick, though.
Yeah.
If I don't see you guys before then, Merry Christmas. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, Steve.
I was going to say, just remind everybody that there was some hope that the tax sharing agreement was entered into a conversation with Measure C. If Measure C would have passed, would have put some more money in the city of Fresno's coffers, which would allow them to overcome objections for the tax sharing agreement, but it didn't pass. So we're probably back to square one between the county of Fresno and the city of Fresno on the MOU. So I don't know where that goes, but it's kind of...
So, Brian, can you educate me a little bit on that? How does that translate into whether we can or cannot take actions with, let's say, annexations and stuff like that? How does that play out?
So, typically, obviously, choice one is to have an MOU in place. Alternatively, when we have applications, they can do what we call, basically one-off agreements. But the city and the county would still have to come to terms for that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we stand.
There
was a little bit more about the different tax options we have.
So the MOU had expired in August of 2020. Mm-hmm. So projects that had been approved before August were held to the MOU that was in place then.
Mm-hmm.
I think there could be a couple that are in that scenario still. They haven't been submitted yet. So we could do, there's one-off tax sharing agreements that the county can do. Dakota Hayes was a project that had a one-off agreement.
Okay.
Otherwise, we would go through the tax sharing statute in CKH, which is T93. And it's a process of establishing the equivalent of an MOU to satisfy that requirement in annexations. It's just essentially a bit of a longer process, but okay. It can be done.
All right. So we aren't just halted completely. More complicated, but...
Exactly, yeah.
And Amanda, that...
Pretty much halted.
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of Galileas were kind of halted.
Okay. Well, that's kind of what I thought, that's what our problem was.
Because Amanda, even that T93 process is case by case too, right? It's not across
it the board. It is, so. Yeah. So it's a mixture of a one-off and an MOU type of scenario where, it's an option. It is timely. It is a little complicated, and especially with discussions mm-hmm. between the city and the county, get a little, dicey. But We do still communicate with the city, and they are exploring other options, and we are working with them to get things done where we can.
My guess is that the supervisor next to me is pretty adamant of his position, so we'll go with that.
Supervisor next to me calls all the shots.
All right. Well, I guess with that, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. We are now adjourned.
Congratulations.